Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step 1, download Rocket Money. Step 2, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step 3, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck, or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge, upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spend on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
In the night, your heart fills with dread. Probably a murderer who wants you dead. It could be a ghost, a demon, or worse. Perhaps you're the victim of a witch's curse. It's hopeless, you're doomed. You'd call a priest if you could. You'd rather just listen to who? Sinister Who?
Welcome to another edition of Freaky Friday, where we tell your odd but true stories. Not only is it Friday, February 6th, it is our 200th Freaky Friday episode. Thank you for
God
being with us, everybody.
Where's my noisemaker?
Children, Tommy, someone stole it. Grab one
so
of the
many
guinea
sounds
pigs.
I could play right now. Hooray! Yay! Woo, clap!
Woo. No, grab the guinea pigs and have them squeak at us.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, girls.
That's how they work, right?
Yeep.
Yeah.
They are. They're all looking at me right now like, are you trying to talk our language?
Cheer us on, ladies. Well, thank you for everybody who sent stories for the past 200
absolutely
Freaky Fridays. We how quickly they all pass. It feels like just yesterday that we were sitting at that Macero restaurant mm-hmm. in Victory Park, fitting to see Tool in concert, being like, man, we should talk about ghost stories on the show.
Different times, wasn't it? I would love some of those nachos right now, too.
Give it to me, baby. Well, thank you, everybody, for that. And man, how time flies from that January to this.
Dude,
and now from
real.
This February to next, when we go on Crime Wave at Sea 2027, that is going to be February 8th through the 12th. And tickets go on sale next Friday, Friday the 13th. So get yours. Go to crimewaveatsea.com/sinister and get your discount code. You get $100 off your stateroom and a private meet and greet with us.
Not only is it in February, but I've been seeing all of these astrological people talk about how right now in February, mm-hmm. a huge shift is happening with like Leo and Aries and all of these things. And it's like basically a rebirth and sloughing off of a bunch of stuff, which we're seeing, and then kind of a rebirth, but specific dates that they said good things are supposed to happen on. One of them, the 13th.
February 13th. So
other
hopefully
17th, Tommy's birthday.
Oh, well, we'll definitely celebrate on the 17th for Tommy's birthday. But Friday, February 13th, go to crimewaveatsea.com/sinister. And we know something. One thing good would happen would be you get $100 off your stateroom and a meet and greet with us. But maybe, we'll be buying celebratory tickets that day. And we're celebrating. Who knows what it will be? Maybe contact
anything
from aliens, and then tell them to meet us out there February 8th through 12th, 2027. But in the meantime, you've lined up some stories for us today.
Oh,
we couldn't do it without y'all sending them in, though.
Yeah, no, true. And, you know, this is a weird time. So the stories, I think we're all feeling it, are like, if we don't talk about the thing that everyone should be talking about, then what is the point, really?
Mm-hmm.
So several stories involve that. So thank y'all for sending those in. And just as an aside, after this week's episode, thank you so much to everyone that sent in extremely kind messages via DM, posts, emails. I've rarely have I sobbed in bed reading an email with the word cunt in it, but it was only because he was saying,
we're not,
you never think that you are cunts that should die in an airplane. You're wonderful women. So thank you so much to everyone that is, I don't want to say on our side, on the right side of history, and is right there fighting the good fight along with us. So thank you all for that.
Thank you very much. And a little bit of hope. I've been traversing my hometown Facebook groups and the dam is cracking. I'm like glad that there's something that has gotten everybody, but everyone's like, I can't believe that I used to like this guy. Like they're all in bed together. And I'm like,
they're all in bed with a bunch of children too.
Yeah. I was like, if it took 10 million emails, at least it took something. So, yeah.
Turns out child rape is what does it for most people.
It's shocking that there even is a line, but at least I'm glad there's one. And I'm horrified that it's that one.
That still is not the line for so many people.
No, not at all. It's crazy to hear Ben Shapiro be like, no one cares about the Epstein files. Zero people care about the Epstein files. I'm like, that sounds like something somebody in the Epstein files would say.
Or it's not a crime to party with Jeffrey Epstein. Oh, but it is for so many reasons.
At some point, it's like, do you hear yourself, buddy? This is forever. There are copies of this forever.
Yeah,
so.
forever and ever.
We're all going through it together. So thanks, everybody, for sticking in there.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad our voices will be forever on the right side of history. And I hope Ben Shapiro and all the other fuckheads that have stuff like that to say.
It really
your
is.
Time will come. Your time will come.
I'm like, I got a feeling you and your whole family's going down O'Doyle. O'Doyle rules. I'm like, karma will get you. But karma that was just a Dick Van Dyke's book. And he was talking about Carl Reiner in the 60s standing up for when they wanted to do more progressive stories about whether it was Laura literally wearing pants or about a black family involved. And the network's like, no, we can't have all that. And Dick Van Dyke said, now more than ever, we need Carl Reiners who are willing to stand up. Like he risked getting fired. So anybody that's out there that's being a Carl Reiner shout out that will just stand up for what's right.
And Rob Reiner. He followed in his dad's footsteps.
Oh, immensely.
Yeah. Well, I'm Christy.
I'm Heather.
And let's get freaky. This first one is from M and is called Third Man's Voice Saved My Mom's Life. Hi, Heather and Christy. I had a holy shit moment when listening to your Third Man episode and knew I had to finally write in after being a longtime listener and lover of your show. Let's get right into it. I had a very specific traumatic experience that happened in my childhood, which stands out against an otherwise pretty happy and loving experience growing up in New York City. When I was 7, I was sitting in school in Lower Manhattan on September 11th, 2001, when hijacked planes struck the World Trade Center. I remember hearing the boom of the first plane as it hit the building and seeing how confused my classmates and teacher were. The rest of the day is a blur, and obviously, as a child, I had no real understanding of what was going on. But I recalled being picked up by my dad, who was in a frenzy. Part of that frenzy was because my mom worked in the World Trade Center, and phone lines were down, so we had no way of reaching her. Eventually, we did, and she was safe. But our lives were forever changed, and I know the experience has shaped who I am today. Years later, when I was older and able to understand what happened, my mom would always tell us that as she fled, she heard a strong, commanding voice guiding her and urging her to keep going. She saw horrific things as she ran down over 50 flights of stairs to safety. People stopping to rest on steps, firefighters trying to keep everyone calm and telling them everything would be okay as they marched up the burning building. She was so tired and tempted to take a break at many points, but a voice urged her to keep going, and I believe it saved her life. While I don't think she saw any, quote, third man type figure, she heard a female voice that was not her own, guiding her for hours. My mom is a Buddhist, so she believes it was the voice of the Guan Yin deity. I express gratitude almost every day for the fact that my mom survived that attack physically unharmed. I am an atheist and general skeptic, but I fully accept and thank whatever unexplained phenomenon triggered the voice that saved my mom. It still makes me tear up when I think about that day, especially each year on its anniversary when the rest of the city mourns with me. Thank you both for being such beacons of hope during bleak times, and thank you for continuing to use your platform to advocate for what is right and just. It saddens my heart to know that injustices are being perpetuated in our country daily against innocent people, but I am cautiously optimistic that we will emerge from this more united someday. As long as people like you continue to fight the good fight, evil cannot prevail. Love ya. Mean it. M.
Oh, M, 7 years old. The confusion you must have felt. Man,
my goodness. The fear your father felt, your mother, my God. Mm-hmm. I mean, statistically, like, she is one of very, very few that made it out. And I'm so glad that she did. And we heard from other people also in 9/11 that, like, a voice of some sort was guiding them. One even person recalls, like, an arm, like, leading them down. And then later they were like, I escaped on my own. So I don't know who it was, but whatever it was, I agree. Whatever you believe, atheist, skeptic, Buddhist, anything, I'm all for a voice that keeps your mom safe.
Absolutely. And that's such a beautiful voice. Guanyin in the translations I read is known as Avalokiteshvara and is the speaker in the Heart Sutra, which is the text that's probably the most studied text for Mahayana Buddhism. And then from there, like Zen and Soto Zen, which is what I practice. But that's the Heart Sutra is what, you know, some people like to have read to them at their bedside if they're passing away. And it's a calming, comforting, knowing kind of a sutra that's like, we are all one. We are, you know, I'm giving you power, essentially. So I love that it was Guanyin in, you know, in her mind. And, you know, perhaps like some of the other people that have experienced it, it's really a part of us. And you tap into something that means so much to you and it makes you feel as comforted and as strong as Guanyin or Avalokiteshvara.
Yeah. Yeah. Especially if you are Buddhist and that's what you tap into, it would make sense. It's kind of a higher self. If you're Christian and you tap into it, it's maybe Jesus or God, a Christian God leading you. But whatever it is, we all need to learn how to tap into it.
I'm calling on the dude. I'm calling on the Big Lebowski, the dude.
Always. Oh. Well, Em, thank you so much for sharing that. And we couldn't be happier that you have a good story of your mom making out of that.
Yeah, and man, I'm so sorry that you, like you said, your otherwise beautiful childhood, that will rocket it. That'll do it, you know.
Especially at seven. I mean, Ella recently turned eight, so that's a very impressionable time and something so monumental and tragic to happen at such a young age. For you and all your friends that age, I mean it definitely changed and shaped generations of kids that grew up in New York and all over the world, but Jersey, especially New York.
Well, thank you for sharing your story firsthand with us. Sinisterhood, we'll be right back. It's officially the month of love, and we know you want to celebrate with the one you love the most, your dog. Let's be real. There is no love more unconditional than the one you share with your dog. Mine will watch me binge hours of television or just man, they will watch me walk around the house in all manner, and they have zero judgment of what I'm wearing, what I look like.
Truly.
And that is true love.
Yes, dogs love us at our best and our worst, and we should do the same for them and give them the best food that we possibly can. And that's Ollie. Ollie offers fresh, protein-packed meals made with real human-grade ingredients, which is a huge win for your dog's health. And they offer 5 tasty recipes, all slow-cooked for top nutrition. Your dog is going to love it. Our dogs love it. Mm-hmm. Everybody loves it.
Their food is human grade, it's vet formulated, and it's seriously tasty. Even the pickiest of pups will get excited. Each meal is tailored to your dog's needs, and it comes perfectly portioned, no mess packs. Plus, they include the handy scoop and the fridge puptainer we talked about to keep things fresh. It fits perfectly, the frozen meals, and it keeps it all in one place. The Ollie app even offers real-time health support and uses data from other dogs to keep improving. It's smart, it's clean, and it's made to make your life easier.
It has made our life easier. I love a item that is specifically for that thing. And the puptainer is just that. It's, you can just take the frozen meal out, put it right in there. It unthaws. It's just, I don't want to have to clean up a bunch of stuff after that. Yeah, it's just, it's in, and it's, I love that it's a specific thing for that. The treats are incredible. Kate loves the peanut butter treats so much. I'm about to go give her some lamb and blueberry here from Ollie in just a minute.
They'll fight for it. Celebrate your number one Valentine, your greatest love, your dog. Head to ollie.com/creepy. Tell them all about your dog and use code creepy to get 60% off your welcome kit when you subscribe today.
Plus, they offer a happiness guarantee on the first box. So if you're not completely satisfied, you'll get your money back. That's OLLIE.com/creepy and enter code creepy to get 60% off your first box. This next one is from Courtney and is called "I Knew How He Died Before Anyone Told Me." Content warning, this does discuss suicide. Courtney writes, "Hello to my two favorite podcasters and the two that are in the car with me anywhere I go. I've been a longtime listener and now a new Patreon member because, simply put, I needed so much more. I've toyed around with sending in my story for some time and finally asked my husband, should I? Because apparently I can't decide things alone. But with his persuading, here we go. I grew up always having a sixth sense of things. My grandmother and my mother were the same. It wasn't that we could see ghosts, but just had constant gut feelings or strange occurrences whenever life-changing things happen. For example, the night my great-grandfather died, we all woke up at 2:15 a.m. with the overwhelming smell of his cologne. We later found out that he passed exactly at 2:15 that morning, and that is just one of many episodes in my childhood. I'm now a hospice nurse and work with the dying often. Last year, I had a great uncle on hospice services who was in his 90s. We knew he was dying, but he had a while to go. One night I was in bed when I had a vivid dream of my uncle. He kept telling me he was tired of being the last in his generation, that he missed his wife and was just tired. I woke up the next morning and called him to check on him. He said that he was doing well, just sad that he was told he was going to have to come off hospice because his health was better and they couldn't keep him on. I explained hospice and let him vent, but knew in his heart he was tired of being alone. That night, I had another dream. This one was the same as before, but then everything turned red. No matter where I turned in my dream, it was bright red. I woke startled and had a sore neck and a sudden feeling of sadness. I got up and grabbed a glass of water. Suddenly, my phone rang. Who would be calling me in the middle of the night? It was my mom. She was calling to let me know that my uncle had died. I asked her what had happened, and all she could say was that her cousins didn't want to talk about it. No one knew anything for weeks. We went to his funeral and spent time with family. Afterwards, my cousin pulled my mom aside and started talking in a hushed tone. The look on my mom's face told me something wasn't right. When we got in the car, my mom turned to me and asked me if I had a dream the night my uncle died. I told her I did and explained everything that had happened. Turns out my mom had the same dream, but was afraid to share. I asked her why the dream suddenly mattered. She turned pale and slowly explained that my uncle had completed suicide that night. He was so tired of living alone that he got in his bathtub and slit his throat. I was shocked, red and a sore neck the night of the dream. It hit me hard. I knew how he died before I was even told. I continue to have episodes like this with my family. It is now a joke that my family hopes I don't have dreams about them. It is fun to joke to my siblings that they only have 5 days left in the Ring movie style. Anyways, thank you for all you do with your stories and defending all in this world. You are both a huge inspiration to me, and I will continually look forward to every episode released. Stay creepy, Courtney."
Oh, Courtney, I am happy that your grandmother and mother share this with you, because this has to be kind of not a responsibility, but it might be, you know, you have a feeling when you have a dream like that about your uncle, and to have someone at least can share it with you. You are not necessarily burdened by it, I suppose.
Yeah. And I'm so sorry to hear about your uncle. That must be a really lonely place to be, like you said, the only one left in your generation. Mm-hmm. You've watched your loved ones and friends pass, and maybe you're just ready to be like, you know what? I've lived a good life, and and I'm done now. And
I didn't even think about that. Yeah.
What a viscerally hard. It's a hard image to imagine. And I imagine your dream and then waking up feeling that was also very hard to cope with. So yes, is like Heather said, I'm glad you can share that with your mom. And I hope that the dreams you have from now on are a little more, the prophecy is a more of a pleasant one.
A positive prophecy. No, truly. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that there is something to be said about the isolation and loneliness of older adults, especially if they are widowed. And Dick Van Dyke's book, not to talk about it again, but I've been listening to a lot. It sounds dumb, but he talked about the age that he's at, the people that he loved the most throughout his life, that literally all of them are gone. He's like, I found new people. Obviously, he's been with his wife for like 25 years. And he talks about she's like a huge, you know, energetic boost for him every day. But he was saying like certain people that know exactly what it was like growing up where I was, people that knew exactly what it was like when we were in college together. And he said those certain friends, it'll flash in your head, oh, they're all gone but me. And I was like, the loneliness of being the last one at the party, man. And luckily, he's got a very, you know, literally the title of the book is An Optimist Guide to a Happy Life or whatever, but really grappling with the darkness of it as well. I'm glad it is not just like a toxic positivity book, but it's like, no, you... That's part of life, right? Is going in those dark, dark places. And it is whatever it is, Courtney, for you to almost accompany people momentarily, it sounds, you know, somewhat into a place like that, you know, at least from an empathetic perspective.
Yeah, you're in tune on some level. Mm-hmm. I've had several instances like this, none this graphic, but I have definitely had an overwhelming feeling like this is going to be the last time I see this person, like a family member, and then shortly after they pass. So there's something in the universe that pulls at us in different ways. Or if you're connected with someone, maybe, you know, just on some kind of realm or plane, you've even after they pass or during their passing, it's kind of a signal to you.
Some light lit up and you, you saw it. So thank you for sharing that with us.
Yes. Thank you, Courtney.
Sinisterhood, we'll be right back. Quince is all about elevated essentials that feel effortless. Designed for layering and mixing, each piece helps build a timeless wardrobe made to last. With versatile silhouettes and thoughtful details, they're the kinds of styles you wear again and again.
We're talking luxe cotton cashmere blends, perfect for the changing seasons, denim that fits like it was made for you, and outerwear that looks and feels designer, but at a fraction of the price. They've got the wardrobe staples with quality that's made to last.
Quince works directly with ethical top-tier factories and cuts out the middlemen so you get those elevated, long-lasting pieces without the markup. Everything they make feels intentional and well-made, like the kind of staples you'll wear on repeat. They're smart, stylish, totally worth it. I love to layer my washable stretch silk V-neck cami in deep orchid over this baby alpaca wool cropped cardigan in gray. I feel so stylish, and it's so elevated and classy, but I feel I don't have to pay $1 million for it.
Y'all know I love all the Modal V-necks. I have them in every color they offer, navy, white, black, olive. I also love their leggings, specifically the Ultraform high-rise crossover legging. I've been looking for like a plum color. Quince had it. I gotta say, not only did nobody else have it, Quince had it. The quality, best leggings that I own.
Dang, that's saying something, because leggings, I feel like when you find a good one, you stick with them.
Yes, and I will stick with Quince. They're such a good quality. They don't pill. I've washed them. They hold up in the wash. Love everything about them. Couldn't recommend them more.
Hell yeah.
Refresh your wardrobe with Quince. Go to quince.com/creepy for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. Now available in Canada too. That's quince.com/creepy to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/creepy. Well, this next one is from Kira and is called R.I.P. My Cinnamon Bun. Christy and Heather, in the words of Frank Reynolds, can I offer you a nice egg in this trying time? I'm in Canada and I've been listening and grieving alongside everyone in the States right now. To those who don't know, ICE has, quote, a global footprint spanning over 90 offices in more than 50 countries. Source, ICE's website. So while y'all in the States are calling your representatives, us folks in those 50 countries can do the same. Fuck ICE. Now onto my tale. In the Third Man Factor episode this week, you asked for near-death experiences, and this couldn't come at a more apt time for me. Allow me to set the scene. Back in November 2021, I drove from interior BC to the Vancouver area in my little Nissan Versa named Moira to visit my family. It was an all-around difficult trip, as time with family can be. 2 days before I was supposed to leave, the unthinkable happened. All the major highways connecting Vancouver to the rest of the country were washed out due to flooding, effectively stranding me with my family for another week. It was a small fortune to fly me home, but I made it. Fast forward to January 2022. I received some diagnoses from a psychiatrist, and his first recommendation, stop drinking. Even after a psychiatrist told me I had a problem, I truly didn't think I did. My drinking was an obsession. It was all I thought about. It took only a month before I realized I needed serious help to quit. I started going to groups, hired an addictions counselor, and ended my relationship. 2 weeks into my recovery, I took a bus down to finally pick up Moira. For those who are unfamiliar with the main highway from Vancouver to the interior of the province, it's called the Kalkahalla. You may know it from the hit National Geography TV show, Highway Through Hell. As the show's name would suggest, this shit is harrowing to drive, especially in the winter, but has some of the most stunning views in the province. On this day, the driving conditions were excellent. To celebrate Moira's return, I picked up a gorgeous-looking cinnamon bun to enjoy at home. It sat shotgun in the passenger seat during the drive. After passing through the summit of the mountain pass, my driver's side tire got caught between the thick ice on the road and the median. Going at highway speeds with lots of cars and semi-trucks around me, I overcorrected steering out of the rut. Then Moira started spinning. I spun twice before I did what you're definitely not supposed to do in this situation, tap the brakes. This was enough to cause Moira to flip 3 times. I so vividly remember a calm coming over me, but I didn't hear a voice or see anyone. During the episode, some people say it feels like a higher self. That's exactly how I describe it. I intrinsically knew I was not going to die, and all I needed to do was breathe and go limp. I remember my arms floating and doing deep belly breaths. Then I was still and upside down. I knew to turn off the engine and unbuckle my seatbelt. Still completely calm, I couldn't open my door, so I crawled out of the passenger side. The highway was at a complete standstill. I approached a group of people, one of which was on the phone talking to the 911 dispatchers. I simply asked him if I was bleeding. He said no and passed me the phone. I ended up sitting in a stranger's vehicle with a bottle of water and blanket waiting for the ambulance to arrive. The first responders took my vitals and were shocked at the state of me. I'll never forget what one paramedic said to me. While I'm still in shock, by the way, he said, "The way the frame caved in, you shouldn't have had a head right now. Anyway, your vitals are good. You can go to the hospital if you want, but it doesn't appear necessary." "Cool, cool, 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 cool. No doubt, no doubt, cool." I ended up getting a ride from another stranger to the hospital closest to my hometown, rather than backtrack the bridge again. All I remember was walking past the wreck of Moira and seeing that cinnamon bun smushed into the ice and dirt, which is when I started cackling and crying. The shock of seeing my cinnamon bun smeared into the ground and not getting to experience it was too much. On February 3rd, I'll be sober for 4 years. I stayed sober through the aftermath of the accident. It was one of the hardest things I've ever done. So many people are injured or die every year from accidents on the coke, especially in winter rollovers like mine. That day taught me that I know exactly how to keep myself safe and alive. So cheers to 4 years without beers and keeping my head. Keep on creeping on, Kira.
Well, congratulations, Kira.
Congrats.
Oh, man. But also,
4 years is amazing.
4 years is incredible. I cannot get the image out of my head of the guy just being like, "You should be decapitated, I'll tell you that." Anyway, looks good. Have a good one. See you later. And you're just like, "Well, I'll grapple with that. No worries. I'll take that. Well, I'll grapple with
and
it."
And then you see your cinnamon bun and smashed that would up. Be also would be, the straw that broke my back.
Easily. Because you're just like,
breakdown.
Because what it represents, it is a sticky, sad representation of the day you should have had and did not. Mm-hmm. You know, where you're like, gah! And now you're this, and Moira's smashed up, and now you got to go to the hospital. Ugh, I'm so sorry, but I'm so glad you kept your head. Ugh, yes. And it's so hard to stay sober at all, much less when you're recovering from literally like a near-death experience, given what the medic said to you. So I think you should give yourself an extra cinnamon bun to celebrate your 4 years.
Absolutely. In fact, for every year, you get a cinnamon bun.
You get one bun. Stack them all up. It'd be great.
Oh, nice.
Truly.
That is a really interesting description of how you just felt this overwhelming calm and kind of just knew that you're going to be okay. And that is another thing people say too. Like maybe it's a voice like it's fine, or it's a voice saying, don't stop. You got to keep going or turn right, turn left. But I'm glad that whatever it was, you tapped into it and you knew exactly what you needed to do to keep yourself alive, like you said.
I love it. Fuck yeah. Well, if anybody else has experiences like that, yeah, I'm down to hear them, because I think it's something we should, hopefully there is more studying of this so that we could tap into it on command, so we don't have to be in like the direst of circumstances. But maybe, I mean, I'm looking for it selfishly to help me make better decisions in my everyday life.
And pause, I can't get the pictures in here.
Oh, no worries.
I saw them, so I'll just talk about them. Unpause. The pictures of this bridge washed out. I will never not be gobsmacked at how powerful water is.
Mm-hmm. It's
where
scary.
It can just take an entire highway and like cement in a mountain, just like take it in half. It's it always just shocks me what Mother Nature is capable of. And to go drive over that even after it's fixed, the highway through hell is a good title. And the picture for that TV show is quite something.
It's crazy.
But there are so many. I've also seen, like, I don't think highway through hell is the same stretch of road, but through the ice. No, ice truck like drivers.
Oh, maybe like ice road truckers.
Ice road truckers.
Yeah, some of these
ice
scenes.
Ice truck drivers, that's a different show.
Oh, yeah.
That's
oh,
Dexter's
no. They're
show.
The ones like, what am I doing with my life? I'm just the one driving the truck. And we're like, yeah.
But it's crazy to drive like in such heinous conditions that most people like would never go out on. So
you got to, though.
You've got to.
Yeah, it
and
is.
You did.
And Mother Nature is, man-made things, always impressive. And Mother Nature will just come in and go, very nice try. And then just wash it out. They're like, millions of people spent years building this road. And Mother Nature's like, all right, cool. I'm going to flood it. So
yeah. It's, and they have no incredible agenda. It's just like, well, this is what was going to happen. So you just happen to have built something here.
It's dangerous, though, because it is beautiful in some of these other pictures.
Oh, my
I'm like,
gosh.
Damn, I'd go there.
I have got to get to Vancouver.
It's beautiful.
Like British Columbia, that whole area is my top three places that I'm trying to travel to.
It's beautiful.
The next time I travel.
Beautiful. Well, thank you for tempting us there, Kira.
Oh, yes. I'm on the highway through hell.
Durner.
When we do go, we have to play that the whole stretch of the bridge.
Meanwhile, Tommy's just white knuckling it, and we're like, turn the music up.
Oh.
Sinisterhood, we'll be right back.
The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit, track budgets, and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Are you a fraud-paying American? It's a fact that one in four honest, hardworking, tax-paying Americans has been a victim of identity theft. With LifeLock Identity Theft Protection, though, if your identity is stolen, they fix it, guaranteed, and get you your money back. Last year, the IRS flagged over $16 billion in refunds for identity fraud. That's billions of dollars that could come from your salary, overtime, or second job. But this year, you don't need to stay a victim. LifeLock monitors millions of data points per second for your personal information and alerts you to threats you could easily miss on your own. And if your information does fall into the wrong hands, only LifeLock has U.S.-based restoration specialists who are backed by the Million Dollar Protection Package. Because this tax season, fraud paying American is something no American should have to claim. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart and save up to 40% your first year. That's 40% off at LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.
This next one is from my daughter, Anonymous, and the subject line is, am I part of the problem? Hey ladies, this is probably more rant than story, but I wanted to share two experiences I had this past week. A little background information. I'm a woman in her 20s and a night owl that works from home. Since I can't smoke in my apartment, I often take breaks outside anywhere from 2 a.m. to 3 a.m. The U.S. city I live in is fairly safe, so going out around those times doesn't bother me. In fact, I've always felt more anxious smoking around people during the daytime, so I prefer it. The first encounter. I was pacing the sidewalk outside my apartment building, enjoying my smoke and music, when a drunk man, likely in his 20s, started walking in the direction I was standing. He was stumbling and tripping over his own feet, talking aloud with the occasional agitated yell, and took a piss in one of my building's plants. I stayed far enough away to not know his features, but moved accordingly to keep distance between us, even walking into the street to do so. I wasn't about to go inside. I had worked hard for that break, and I'm too stubborn to give in. Plus, I didn't really feel any immense danger, despite his questionable behavior. Finally, he sat down near the corner of the street and eventually laid on his back. I assumed he fell asleep and did not bother to wake him. However, after about 10 minutes, I had not seen him move. The man was too still, and I started to get a little worried. I wanted to go up and make sure he was still alive, but being a female, I was hesitant. I thought to yell out and check on him, but that would wake up people in the vicinity. Then I thought to call 911 for a wellness check, but what if he was undocumented or got into an aggressive altercation with the police? I spent at least another 10 minutes trying to decide what to do while he lay there unmoving. After what felt like an eternity trying to decide, I was about to call out to him, and just as I was about to, he moved his head. I felt relief he was alive, but also relief that I did not have to get involved with the unknown. The second encounter. I was sitting on the curb outside my building when a man around my age, also a little intoxicated, passed by. He called out to me, asking if I had an extra cigarette, which I didn't. I only smoke weed. As soon as I said so, his eyes widened in surprise, and he apologized if he had scared me, saying, "I thought you were a brother." I was pretty bundled up, so his reasoning was understandable. He asked if I was all right, which I confirmed I was, and we bid each other goodnight. He went on his way, and that was that. I feel grateful for that second man, that he had the respect and hindsight to think about how I might have felt in that brief situation. As for the first man, I feel conflicted at having wanted to confirm his well-being, yet the potential threat to my own safety wouldn't let me. I didn't want to call the police in fear of putting him in potential danger, and while debating my options, I couldn't help but think, what if something had happened to him while I was racking through my options, unsure of what to do? I don't know what these encounters say about me, but I feel awfully disheartened that I had to think about whether helping someone was the right thing to do, if the repercussions would outweigh the cause for concern. As for the second man, I wonder if he had similar thoughts that maybe he should not reach out next time in case of startling someone by just being there. Anyway, I love the podcast. I've been listening for years now and even got the privilege of seeing you live. Both you ladies have become such a positive staple in my life. So keep being true to yourselves, your morals, and your ideals. Please keep speaking out and challenging the world we currently live in. Here's to many more years to come. Anonymous. P.S. Remember when you mentioned the potential shooting at the Dallas cheer competition? Well, my sister lives in Dallas and watched from her car as the competitors and audience members flooded the streets running. Thanks to your pod, I was able to tell her why.
Well, Heather was down there. Dude, too,
so just walking into it.
Your sister may have seen Heather on the side also.
Who's that lady?
What is going on down here? Oh man. Yeah, that was wild.
Man, these moments are tough.
These are, and I think this concern of I'm worried if I call the police, I'm going to make it worse for this person, because what if they're undocumented? And then we know how that could go. It's such a real valid concern now that we didn't used to have. Maybe we had, but it's much more grave now. And that's so sad to be like, this man needs help. I want to call the police to help him, but I'm worried that the people I'm supposed to call to help him are actually going to take him away and hurt him more.
Mm-hmm. And it really, it depends on the city too, because I wish all cities did it like Dallas. When I've called, they said, do you need police or emergency medical fire? And so you can tell them, I just need emergency medical fire. The problem is if they get aggressive with emergency medical, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
But you can at least, because I was on my bicycle one time and I saw an unconscious person like far enough. But again, I was by myself. It was like a under the bridge situation. And I called and specifically asked to talk with the fire department and was able to give them. And they said, we'll send an ambulance out. But not all cities are that big. And it might just be your sheriff coming in, you know, so it is such a hard thing. I love that Right to Be org, which we talked about in the way back when in the Kitty Genovese episodes, who teach bystander training. They have been teaching ICE bystander training, but also just in general, their bystander training. They teach you there's multiple ways to make, so like if you see somebody in distress, there's multiple ways to intervene. And it doesn't always necessarily end up walking up saying, hello, can I help you? That if you don't feel safe. So I feel like organizations like that are good to, it's like, you know, a webinar kind of thing you can sit through. They have them every so often and they post a lot of tips on their social media, but it's called Right To To Be, because we all have a right to be out in public. So the idea is you, it's training for when someone's harassing someone else. But I think a lot of their tactics can be applied to someone that's like in distress, but perhaps you don't necessarily feel safe.
No, I mean, it makes total sense that as a woman by yourself, you thought twice about going up to a drunk man passed out. I think we all would. And at the end of the day, you got to keep yourself safe first before stepping in to help someone else. So I'm glad that at the last minute he showed some life so you didn't have to do anything. But it was long enough that you had to, a lot of thoughts to go through. And I think that that will resonate with a lot of people. So thank you for sending that in.
As for what it says about you, I would say that you're a human who was being considerate and thoughtful. And you know what? It could have, you could have run up on him and he freaked out and fought you. You know what I mean? So you never know. Good news, bad news, who's to say? But I feel like in this case, you thinking about it will help you be prepared for the next time you inevitably run into somebody. And I hear you, man. Sometimes I like dark outside nighttime. So, you know, moments like that by yourself, moments that, man, those are you're like, why do I have to be the one to go in? They're the ones who suck.
Well, and as night owls too, especially if you live in a city where it's, you know, you might have a lot of foot traffic where you live, you're going to see stuff that like the daytime people don't see just by, you know, that's when people leave the bars and whatnot. So it can be a different vibe. I personally like it, but not all the crime or that I might witness, but just the calmness, the dark. I was standing in my kitchen looking out the windows the other night like a psychopath. I'm always like, if someone is looking at me, I look insane that I'm just standing there staring out into the darkness.
No, it's good, because if they're like, okay, I'm going to case the house, I might break into the house, and they're like, oh my God, there was a bitch looking out the window.
It's that crazy bitch. They're like, is that a ghost? No, she's just very pale.
Maybe it is, baby. I don't know. Come in and find out.
But I was looking at everything, and I always get really down on myself that I don't like to get up. And I'm not a morning person.
You have a different chronotype.
I don't like the morning. And I was thinking, you know what? There's all these other people don't get to see what I'm seeing right now. We see a different side of the world at night than people that are up at 6 a.m. But unfortunately, people don't do business at 2 in the morning. Not they unless, do. Except for me and you.
Yeah, we do. Yeah, you can. But I feel like
anonymous.
Different chronotypes exist. And I feel like they evolved from an evolutionary perspective, because somebody's got to be awake in case somebody's casing the joint. And it's good to have somebody in the window.
Take watch.
Absolutely. Well, thank you very much, Anonymous, for being willing to share that. And I hope that organization or others like it can kind of help.
Yeah.
Sinisterhood, we'll be right back.
The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes.
download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place, so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month, so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit. Track budgets and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Moro Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Well, this next one is from Rhea, and the subject line is High School ICE Protest Walkouts. This may not really be a Freaky Friday, but I wanted to say how proud I am of our kids here for walking out of their high schools protesting the atrocities of ICE. We live in Buda, Texas, just south of Austin, and we have a heavily Latino population. I'm white, but my husband is Latino, and my children are Latina. We're not in the situation that some of our neighbors are in, but my heart breaks every day watching the fuckery unfold. Monday, my non-Latina daughter asked me if she could join her friends in walking out of school to protest ICE. My response was, "Of course. I love you and I'm proud of you. Be so careful, please." They walked miles from her school to Kyle City Hall, escorted by our police officers who are here to keep us safe, and they watched over our children during this whole protest. This is now going viral, but I feel like not always for the right reasons. There was one student with alcohol who was arrested. Should this take away from what our children were saying? I hear, "Oh, they just didn't want to be in class." To which I say, maybe there were some, but fuck you for trying to minimize our children exercising their rights. Now let's talk about the incident with a grown-ass 45-year-old man wearing a MAGA hat who got out of his truck to confront a teenage girl. Don't worry, he fucked around and found out and got his ass whooped. But is this what we're doing? This was less than a mile from my house, fucking flabbergasted and incensed. That's all I can say about that. I can only say that I'm proud of my daughter. I am proud of her friends. And guess what? The kids are all right, y'all, and they aren't going to stand silently by any longer.
No, they are not. And I'm very proud of your daughter and all those kids, too. There were a lot of walkouts around here as well. I know Mesquite.
Hell yeah, dog.
Your hometown had a big one.
Fuck yeah.
And then our fucking governor has to send out a fucking tweet that's like, anybody that walks out with ICE protests is now going to be considered delinquent from school and get a ticket and all this shit. And protests aren't considered excused absences, so you're going to be getting truancy trouble. All just a bunch of red tape to try to get children and teenagers to not express themselves, because do some of them want to be out of class? Maybe. I mean, but that's probably every day, right?
Yeah, right.
But do the majority of them want to exercise their rights to protest something that is affecting them, their friends, their family, people younger than them? Everyone, like, it doesn't matter your age, because ICE will take you at any age, we've learned. So
yeah, we've seen. Or no, pepper
get
spray
the
in the mouth.
Out there.
Yeah, no, truly. I'm so proud of this younger generation. And I feel like it is, I will come to bat for them every time, because it pisses me off when people older than me who would threaten me. When, you know, we were like, "Oh, do we walk out for this stuff?" And it would be like, "You're going to get in trouble. You're going to get truancy." And now that I'm the grown up, I'm like, it doesn't matter. Hey, kids that are listening, truancy, it doesn't matter. I wish I would have walked out. I wish I wouldn't been worried about being polite or doing things the right way. And I truly regret not being more involved when I was younger. And I feel a responsibility as for my generation that we didn't do more sooner, that we do have younger generations going, "Hey, man, This kind of all started with y'all. And we're like, yeah, we know. Sorry about that.
Well, you know, started way before us.
Kind of had a couple of financial crises and meltdowns and whatnot. But I'm so proud to see young people stand up. And I find it so offensive. Any governor who tweets that a kid would be truant for protesting can eat my farts. And that is my declaration and decree. Like, seriously, where are you in history, man? No. You sound like George Wallace, you fucking idiot. Like, just archaic, old
white men. Yeah, I don't really remember there being a ton of opportunity when I was in high school to do things like this. But it was also the mid-90s, and it was a totally different time. I will echo your sentiments of, if there had been, do it. What, truancy? Give me a fucking break. First of all,
you know what I mean?
This might be a hot take and an unpopular opinion, but school, kind of fucking pointless. I mean, do we learn some stuff? Sure. We all learn things that we need to learn. Is it a way to oppress people from the second that they can be in an institution? I also think that.
Potentially, yes. I mean, it's like especially when it gets taken over by interests that are not our own, that are like, we need to train them on this kind of stuff. And you're like,
or you find out
community kind of knows.
Ghislaine Maxwell's father owned the McGraw-Hill textbooks, which was in every classroom. And then you're like, so we're not crazy. This has been like insidious and been trying to be pushed on us for our whole lives. Yeah, you're not wrong. You're not crazy.
No, they've had their fingers in the pies and like trying to make some type of profit off of us from every possible angle. Mm-hmm. But if you're a teen, a youth that you're like, I'm fishing to go to college. I can't get in trouble. I might get a truancy thing. If you get in trouble, a truancy thing or whatever, and you think it's going to affect you, write to me. We'll write you a letter of recommendation to college. Like, you know what I mean? Like, that's crazy to me that I feel like any good institution would look at the reason for that truancy and be like, oh, because of civil disobedience, that's good trouble. We want someone like you in our university. And if they don't, then it's probably like Liberty University and you shouldn't go there anyway.
May I just say, as someone who skipped so much school in their sophomore year of high school that they were not legally allowed to take the driver's license test because you had to be enrolled in school at least 80% of the time. Mm-mm. I did not qualify. I think I turned out okay.
You're great.
So, you know, if you want to go to the first and last day of your sophomore year of Spanish class, that's okay. Because at the time, you're going to think it's the worst fucking thing that's ever happened. And it's really stressful and you're going through a terrible time. But now you can look back and be like, adios, muchachos. I turned out okay.
No necesito. Apparently, you did not need a Spanish class. But I feel like, the kids these days hopefully have their priorities in the right place, because I do think they've seen kind of what has become the scam of student loans. What has been, you know, of like, you've got to go to this expensive college and take out all of these loans to go there. And if you don't, then you're not going to get a job. And it's like, they're probably like, AI is going to take my job anyway. Mm-hmm. Like, what am I going to go get a degree in something that literally AI? Everybody's freaking out because all of these highfalutin Ivy League fancy degreed people that would always go get these jobs at like McKinsey and Company and all these consulting groups. Do you know what's just way better at all the consulting data analysis than humans? Yeah, AI. And they're all freaking out. Yeah, a robot, unfortunately, is what they're all learning.
It doesn't have to go to college.
That's what they
said. Which is fucking rude, first of all.
It's fucking skip,
they should,
man.
They should all have to still go through.
Should take them 18 years.
High school. And then if they want to become like a doctor or something, they should still have to go to med school. They got to do
fair.
It all.
Right. You can't just turn them on and they know how to walk.
No.
I need a learning curve. Come on. I want a true robot.
God, imagine being in class with a robot. You're never getting that curve.
Damn.
I got 100 again. And we're like, we know.
I'll kill you. They're like,
bleep,
you can't. Warp,
you're fucking up the curve for the entire class.
Everybody, we're walking out at noon to kill Bleep Blorp.
Please don't. I'm your friend. Bleep Blorp, we're unplugging you, so you can't walk out. So fuck off.
That's what I'm saying. You got to get the robots that plug in, you guys. That way they cannot turn on you. But I'm very proud of your daughter. I'm very proud of all of her friends. And, on the long, long timeline that is life, Maybe I'm feeling nostalgic because this Dick Van Dyke book, like that's something like going, I got a truancy charge because I walked out for someone's civil rights, for my family civil rights, my friend's civil rights. That's something to be proud of.
And I wish it's something to boast about. Yeah, something frankly. To boast
about. Certainly, yeah, be proud of it. Because I think when I was younger, I was like, oh, I have to do everything right and I have to be so good and I can't miss a day and I can't get anything other than an A and it has to. And it's like some things truly are more important than the system, right? And we're all in school to learn to be good humans, and in all the skills that we get interacting with each other, interacting with our teachers. And I feel like understanding an injustice and doing what you can, which is civil disobedience to do it, is badass.
Yeah.
Sign off. And beating the shit out of a guy who fucking starts a fight.
First of all, how embarrassing for you to stop your truck, get out with that stupid hat on, and then go up to a teenage girl. Probably, he probably already had eyes on her.
You know?
And was like, oh, well, now I got a reason to talk to her. Yeah, and of course, teachers are incredibly important, and school is important for a lot of reasons. My point being, I always put a lot of pressure on myself that, like, I had to go to college and do all these things that were just expected or my friends were doing. And looking back, I'm like, I would have much preferred to have taken all that money and gone traveling around the world and found myself and learned more about myself, because
chart your own path.
Yeah, I didn't, you know, college didn't really, as far as like furthering my life, didn't do a whole ton. I finally did use my psychology degree the other day when I was like, I think that our prefrontal cortex doesn't. Tommy was like, you're right. I was like, oh, boom, boom, boom. Finally, that degree finally paid for itself.
Hell
but yeah, if school isn't your thing too, like, don't feel like you got to be pressured into doing that.
Go read the book just the thing for Geraldine and figure out what your juggling acorns is and go juggle them acorns, baby.
Is that possum?
Yeah, it's the possum that juggles acorns.
Mm-hmm.
Hell yeah. Sinister Hood, we'll be right back.
The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals, whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation. Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Well, this final one is also from my daughter, Anonymous, and the subject line is a history lesson to send us off. Hi, ladies. I've been a fan of your podcast for a while, and I'm submitting this under anonymity because what I'm about to say might be uncomfortable. I heard your most recent episode on CBP, and there is a history that needs to be told before we can even look at CBP and their abhorrent policies and procedures. I will tell you that my mom, an American citizen, was terrorized by the caseworker who had been assigned to us while we were in the process of getting citizenship, threatening her with ICE in terms of deporting my sibling and me. We were born abroad to a U.S. citizen. That was our only crime. And they threatened us when we were children. It got to the point that I had done the swearing-in ceremony three separate times. Again, even though my sibling and I did get granted U.S. citizenship through this Child Citizenship Act of 2000, which was to cancel out a Reagan-era policy that said that if you were to leave the U.S. before you turned 16, that you could not pass citizenship to any future child that would be born abroad if you were a U.S. citizen. This was in particular to children born after 1986, which I was. It's known as the Immigration and Nationality Act Amendments of 1986. My mom used to always say to the caseworker, do it. Where are you even going to deport these kids? I have legal custody and I'm a U.S. citizen. The caseworker even asked my stepdad if my mom had married him for citizenship. Sir, she was born in New York. So they could threaten us all they want, but at the time they had no legal standing and they still don't. Anyway, all of this to say, I'm very well versed in history, one of my special interests being 20th century Latin American history. And let me tell you, this whole immigration crisis was caused by U.S. interference starting in 1954 with Operation PB Success. The United Fruit Company, now Chiquita Brands International, refused to give up unused lands in Guatemala that it owned. The democratically elected Guatemalan government, led by President Jacobo Arbenz, offered to buy these unused lands. Guatemala offered a price equal to the value the fruit company had originally declared for tax purposes. The fruit company rejected the government's offer and demanded more compensation. With help from U.S. Secretary of State John Dulles and his brother, CIA Director Alan Dulles, and the agency he led, the CIA, the fruit company then lobbied the U.S. government to label President Arbenz a communist and justify intervention under the Monroe Doctrine. The United States claimed it was concerned about Soviet influence in the Western Hemisphere. This led to the 1954 coup that overthrew the Guatemalan president. Eisenhower used this reasoning to overthrow the democratically elected president and the government of Guatemala to install a military regime controlled by the U.S. that led to a 36-year civil war in Guatemala. This is what inspired the CIA to try to do the same in Cuba about 10 years later, and we all know how well that went. Even in the 1980s, at the height of the Civil War, Reagan met with the military dictator at the time and said that he was getting a, quote, bum rap by human rights watchdog groups over a genocide that was caused with the help of the U.S. Let that sink in. The U.S. then involved itself in Argentina, Chile, Nicaragua, El Salvador, Honduras, etc. Basically, the 20th century was filled with civil wars all over Latin America, most of which were U.S.-backed or supported in some way. This is what led to the crisis at the border. People don't understand that all that is happening right now at the border and with ICE was caused by the U.S. itself. The U.S. likes to gloss over this history, but I implore everyone who is listening to look into this and to the U.S. involvement overseas. No one wants to leave their homeland, ever. They are forced to because of circumstances beyond their control, like civil wars, violence, corruption, etc. I've also included an information sheet with this that breaks down everything and has key points. Stay safe and keep it creepy.
Well, thank you so very much for that very important history lesson / reminder that we're the problem, everybody.
It's me. Hi. And then the Statue of Liberty raises her thing. I'm the problem. It's me.
Yeah. Just with the frown on her face. Like, God, I don't want to be, y'all. No, I don't want to be.
She's like, I saved you in Ghostbusters 2.
You went through so much with your family. Mm-hmm. And I mean, as you can see from your story, this is nothing new. Using the threat of deportation against people when they're U.S. citizens, threatening their children against them. It's just heinous. There's a special place in wherever hell is. And right now it seems to be on this big
right here, baby,
rock that we're just
home sweet home.
Yeah. But people that can do that and then go home and like, I just don't get it. I don't understand how anyone like gets pleasure out of breaking up families.
Truly not. And I, you know, I'm like, can we love somebody out of that? I hope so. I hope we can find a way to like the people singing outside of the ICE hotel rooms in Minneapolis singing like, you can change your mind. You can change your mind. Come join us. You can change your mind. Like,
that was powerful.
You know what? It's like, who does that? Look at yourself, man. Like that Border Patrol agent that talked with Now This News and was like, I want people to know this, you know, like leave as soon as you can, because I think you're right, Anonymous. It's most people that were here. It used to be before the act that we talked about in the last episode, that 1990s act, people would like come and work a little bit, then may go back home for a while and then come back a little while. But it was like, if you leave for any more than 2 weeks and you can't come back for 10 years, everybody's like, well, fuck, well, I need to stay here because I need to send money back. So it's like, we created this problem. And then it kills me to see folks who are not aware of this history or not aware of the history of the laws just being like, everybody's just streaming over the border to take our jobs. And it's like, you fucking dipshit. We actually had a, I won't say it was a good thing going. You know what I mean? There was just all these patchworks, band-aids, things like that, that have been done throughout. So it's like, we got to gut this bitch and start from scratch.
Dude, I'm ready. Start to the moon.
I wonder.
Honestly, do we want the moon?
No, I said we're eating them in the sun. I never said
no,
they get the moon.
No, I'm saying where I want to move to.
Oh, you're okay. You're moving. I was saying Mike Johnson, all these people, I think they need to be yeeted to the sun.
Yeah.
Greg Abbott, he can go to the sun.
No, I reposted a TikTok that probably got me on a list. Just kidding. I'm definitely already on several of the only way this is going to change. And it was basically a nuclear of all of DC.
Yeah, drain, like, it's so
you
funny.
You gotta get him out.
Drain the swamp. I'm telling you, man, drain the swamp, release the Epstein files, look into Pizzagate. It's all the things that they said in 2016. But real.
I also would like to say to you and I, who have been vilified and criticized for our opinions over the years, who's right now, bitch? Who has said this whole time a secret cabal of child predators run this whole fucking government?
My best friend. And but yes, me too. Yes, I agree.
But it sucks to be right about something so heinous.
It does.
It also is maddening to be like, this is what I've been saying. And now even they're saying it. And still y'all don't believe that this is going on. Like, when you have proof. I mean, if you can stomach it, the files are there.
Buckle up. We're about to talk about them.
Yes, the next few episodes, we feel we've talked about due diligence. Yeah, yeah. We can't cover things that aren't this right now because it feels insane to be talking about other stuff.
Well, it's crazy to us that, like, Epstein, which we covered in 2019, so this is, like, already a topic we've covered, is now not just blowing up, but blowing up in ways that in that old episode we were like, well, if we could see X, Y, and Z, and now those documents have been released, and there's stuff we didn't even cover back either in that or the update with the ranch in New Mexico. We haven't even mentioned that, so we're going to have to talk about the ranch and a lot more stuff that's come out, but
so
it's
so much stuff that is... It's really hard, and take care of yourselves because there's several creators I follow that, you know, kind of do legal analysis of stuff. And even they're like, I had to stop because the things I'm reading and seeing are so heinous and that it will change you. And, you know, I mean, take care of yourself. So at the same time, we're trying to stay informed, right? So it's this balance of like, I don't want to see this, the most heinous thing you can imagine being told to me, but I also have to stay informed so we can be the good ones to fight it and try and prevent it from continuing.
And finding good creators that you trust and just getting a little sampling of multiple of them. Heather Cox Richardson always. Breaking Points has been doing a great job. Drop Site News does a great job. Ken Klippenstein, there's people on Substack where maybe you don't necessarily have to read the direct information from it, but can hear. And like Breaking Points will interview Ro Khanna. And so you get the congressional representative who's literally about to be in the room with Todd Blanche asking about the unreleased files, where those people can read all the pages and then kind of summarize it. Someone on Threads today said, my therapist told me, to save the world, you personally don't need to read the actual documents. Like, understand that. Like, it's one thing to be aware of it and to push your senators or your congress people, but perhaps for you. And another person was like, we need to digitally organize where, like, one group's the Epstein group and they're doing that. One group is, like, ICE atrocities group and they're doing that. Because not everybody can stay informed about everything. And so you need trustworthy people like, okay, I'm going to go look this up. You go look that up and we'll keep each other informed. So maybe find some creators online you can rely on. And hopefully if we give you a summary of the Epstein stuff, we can do it in a way that totally won't ruin your brain. I mean, our brains are donezo, but we'll filter it for you.
I had therapy today and I told my therapist I was watching stuff about newly released files the other night. And I just was like, and it was not by night. I mean like 5 p.m. And my brain just went, no more. And I was like, here it comes. And I just fell over and fell asleep. And sometimes that's a trauma response, is like your brain literally shuts off. And so it's important to still do stuff for our mental health. My therapist today was like, what are you doing for yours? I said, I've gotten real into Lego botanicals.
Hell yeah.
She said, I did not see that coming, nor did I. But it has been very fun and therapeutic. And now we look like unhinged people that have a bunch of flowers all over our house.
I know. I was like, well, I've just been running and running and running and running. I'm like, my friends were like, you ran, if you stay on course, you're going to run 700 miles this year. And I was like, yeah, I can outrun the MC miles. I was like, I'll do it's it. Fine. If it's I fine. I'll running. Do it. Yeah, it just you find the thing. It really does make me happy, though. So it's like you got to find the thing that's like, it's like my relaxing thing.
Yeah.
And because it's I was talking to our hairstylist Laurel today. I got my hair cut, and we were talking about like how with some of my friends who are older are like, oh, it is similar to like Watergate time, where you're like, there's something terrible and there's journalists looking at it. And of course, people back then, you only kind of go off what the journalists were saying, or you had to be like an insider. And then you kind of know something big's going to happen. There's these hearings that are going to happen, but we're all kind of in this waiting game. And I was like, I think that's why people back in the 70s fucking partied, man. Cause it's like, you've got to like work hard all day on the revolution and then dance at night, you know, find something that makes you happy in the evening and don't feel guilty about it. Cause you put the work in and you can't. My therapist had to teach me taking care of yourself is working, because I would just work. This is before all the shit show. This was just like when I worked at the law firm and stuff. I would just like constantly work and be like, well, I can't rest because if I'm resting, then I'm not working. And she's like, but if you're not resting, you're not good at working. Like if you're not doing something fun, you're not going to be good at working, because you're just going to be like, burnt out. So protect yourself from burnout, man. Yeah, don't get burnt out.
Definitely. Go get yourself some Lego botanicals. I think they have a new Valentine's drop that's pretty fun.
Yeah.
And then you can be like me, who just has a bunch of plastic flowers and vases over their house.
Hey, man, they'll never die. Come on la flor, like Selena saying, baby, they'll never die.
Honestly, some of them are very impressive and
pretty. Beautiful. It was fun, too. I built one of them with you. It was a good time.
Yeah. Yes. And there is one, my last one that I currently have right now. It has been giving me some fits. So
it's persnickety.
I had to walk away because my relaxing thing was becoming not relaxing anymore.
There's time I'm like, I'm going to relax and do this puzzle. And then I'm like, and anytime I'm just going to put it all back in a plastic bag and fuck it. Yeah, and then I'm like, I just sorted all the pieces out and was like, I'm done. Scrape. Yep.
By the time the base had fallen apart for the 12th time, I went, fuck this, and just got up and left. And it's still sitting on the table.
You're like, it's waiting for me when I'm ready, baby.
Yes,
will
it is.
I be ready? Maybe. But we hope you all are finding a way to take care of yourselves out there. And thank you to both of my daughters, Anonymous, and everybody who sent these in.
Absolutely. Thank you so very much for sending in your stories. If you have an odd but true story, maybe you've encountered Bigfoot, you've seen a UFO, you had a brush with true crime, or you felt the presence of an otherworldly being, send them in at sinisterhood.com/freakyfriday. Well, speaking of freaky, have you got something creepy caught on camera, found a weird or unexplainable clip online? Maybe you just have a funny video you want us to see. Send it our way and we'll live react to it during Sunday Scaries, our weekly live stream over on Patreon every Sunday at 8:30 p.m. Central. It's totally free. You just put in your email address. You get immediate access to the chat, the videos. You get a whole backlog of content just for signing up for free. And we will be doing it this Sunday, Super Bowl Sunday, because the Bad Bunny concert will be over by then. So we'll be available to stream.
We can start. Yeah, we can start.
And also, Bad Bunny, Brandi Carlile, Green Day concert, I believe.
Ooh, baby.
There happens to be a football game going on during it.
Yeah, I don't know why they would put, that's crazy
stupid.
That they would schedule that.
I don't know why they scheduled
it
on the same day.
Can't wait. Bad Bunny.
Oh my God.
Fuck.
Can we all just take a moment?
Just shh. Everybody just take a moment, close your eyes, open them, and then just think about Bad Bunny.
In whatever way. Do you know how many times I've watched him win Album of the Year? I can't tell you. And then do you know how many times I've watched videos of his concerts, specifically a move that he likes to do quite a bit?
The Bad Bunny move?
And the first comment was, they both put on a great show.
Okay. Wait, I need to see this. What can I search? I'm trying to see this.
Bad Bunny concert. I mean, literally, like, probably the first one Oh my God, I'm getting sweating just thinking about it.
My pits are starting to sting.
Hold on. So many saved. I can send you one.
Okay, Bad Bunny concert. Let me see. Oh, ma.
The hip thrust, and then he's usually in basketball shorts.
He is first. In basketball shorts.
Mm-hmm.
Who? I swear to God, if one more goddamn person says anything negative about Bad Bunny, if one more person tries to say Bad Bunny should be on the Super Bowl, I'll come to your house and I'll kick you in the face.
I'll kick you in the nuts.
I'll kill you. I'm like South Park. I'm Cartman. I'm turning to Cartman. I'm like, I'll kill you. If you say one more thing about Bad Bunny, I'm going to lose it. Shut up. He's going to leave.
He's going to leave, you guys. Stop hanging out with us. I told you, the cool guy's hanging out with us, and you're going to piss him off, and he's going to leave. I was just informed. Yeah.
Yes. Oh, mama.
My
great googly moogly.
It is. He is. Something to behold. He is. But
he's
honestly,
America's sweetheart. He's an angel.
He's an angel.
His soul
and the
is
Grammys,
great.
His speeches, he gave two, both in Spanish and English, were incredible. But the moment when he won, because he's so overcome with emotion, he just sits there.
When he's like
composing himself because he didn't have any family or a date at the table with him for safety reasons, because that's how many death threats he and his family have been getting. And then I was like, why does he? I mean, he is ripped, but I was like, he looks kind of stiff.
Bulky.
He had a bulletproof vest on under that tuxedo.
Bad Bunny cannot. He could. I want to live in a nation where Bad Bunny doesn't have to live in fear. I want to live in a nation where a son of our soil, like Bad Bunny, is loved and respected as he should be. If you don't, here's the thing. Everybody, maybe you're not familiar with his music. First of all, it's awesome. Second of all, go watch him on SNL. You'll fall in love with him in 2 seconds. He's so funny and cute. And then watch his speeches.
Yeah.
And then if you ever think about saying something about Bad Bunny again, why don't you just go drown yourself instead? Because I don't want to fucking hear it.
I will not tolerate any Bad Bunny slander.
Block you for my whole life. I don't care. I don't fucking care.
I'll ban you from the show.
I'll ban you from the show forever. You don't get to listen to the show. You don't get to see him, first of all.
No,
you do not get to see Bad Bunny.
It is a privilege.
That's a privilege.
It's a privilege to see him with a tuxedo on, shirtless in all the ways, in his Calvin Klein's. I will never not think about that for the rest of my life. Every day I will think about that Calvin Klein ad.
I mean, it's art. It's art is what I'm saying.
It is art. But for real, he made such a good point in his speech that before anything in his speech, he said, before I say anything else, I have to say ice out, which for him as a Puerto Rican wearing a bulletproof vest. And if that is, I've had several sources confirm that, but if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. It did look, though, like something. He looked all.
I didn't know that,
kind of.
Bulky.
Yeah, yeah. But that was the first thing he said. And also that only love will drive out hate.
100%.
And that that's what we need more of. And that's what his music is about. It's
love.
If you want to tune in to someone that's singing about, inappropriate sexual things with minors, then you can go listen to Kid Rock on the Turning Point USA bullshit show they're having.
In their right mind is like, Kid Rock should go play the Christian organization when he literally has lyrics that says he likes young girls. Some people call it statutory, which, by the way, the word that he's omitting in that rhyme is rape. He's singing about statutory rape. Mm-hmm. So enjoy your Turning Point USA. And we're going to be enjoying the grown-up who likes other grown-ups who is performing at the Bad Bunny concert with the football game that's also happening at the same time.
Yes. It's the whole lineup of Turning Point USA. The only person I'd even heard of was Kid Rock, and he hasn't been relevant since I was probably in college.
Did you see the footage of him performing? He's like, an American badass, go Trump, go Trump. Ooh. And then he tries to take off this very cheap pleather jacket and gets stuck in it and is like,
because he's so sweaty and gross.
Trying to get it off. And I was like, oh, buddy, this was embarrassing for you to be doing 20 years ago. Mm-hmm. The fact that you are still trotting it out is upsetting to me to watch.
It is like your drunk racist uncle. Ugh. who has too many felonies to count mm-hmm. on two hands.
He can't see his kids. Yeah, he's not allowed to see his kids.
No, nobody at family gatherings, you're like, don't go sit on Uncle Kid Rock's lap. No. And they're like, why? And you're like, just don't do it.
He's going to say the word statutory to you, okay?
And that's who you want at your little Christian fucking song and dance fest. It's supposed wild. To be like the alternative to what is just the woke media putting on. What it sounds like a fucking great lineup to me. Green Day.
It's American.
Brandi Carlile.
All American lineup.
My future
yeah.
second husband, Bad Bunny.
Dude. My future second wife, Brandi Carlile.
My future blunt rotation friends, Green
yeah.
Day.
Fuck yeah, dude. Hell yeah. Oh man, Green
Let's
Day.
Let's all get together and have quite a time.
And that's what you can do.
It's going to be epic. I really feel like this is, they knew what they were doing, which is crazy because the NFL is in bed with
everybody. I'm sure they're all part of it.
And the list of sports franchise owners that are in the Epstein files oh, yeah. is sickening.
We'll go over it. We'll go over it next time.
But they knew what they were doing with this halftime show.
We can watch
it. It appears.
Yeah, we'll watch the stream of it and watch old Bad Bunny.
Oh, yes. Well, if you just want to send in a bunch of clips of Bad Bunny, then we'll also accept those for Sunday
Scaries.
Too.
It's the Oops All Bad Bunny lineup.
Oh, please. Well, if you like our free episodes like this one, you'll love our Patreon bonus content. You can join for free to see what we're up to next or dive into over 1,000 hours of content like Judge Christie, where I rule on petty grievances you bring before the court. You can join for free to see what we're up to next or dive into over 1,000 hours of content like Judge Christie, where I rule on petty grievances you bring before the court. True Crime Headlines, where we break down the latest news and updates in true crime. Heather Saves, or anything Heather has found late night scrolling can be discussed, and Am I the Asshole, Unpopular Opinions, and other subreddits that we feel require our input.
And great news, we also offer free trials where you join for a week at any of the tiers, check out all the perks, binge everything you want, and then cancel before the week is over without getting charged. It's totally free, but if you stick around to an annual membership to get 1 month free, and you also get a ton of stuff.
You get ad-free episodes, monthly live stream Q&As, quarterly live bonus content, weekly audio bonus content, mini-sodes, merch discounts, and a community of the best listeners on the whole internet.
Head over to sinisterhood.com and click shop on the top banner to order some merch for your sweetheart this Valentine's Day. We have mugs, t-shirts, totes, stickers, and even clothes for your kiddos. And if you're a Patreon subscriber, check the pinned post for your merch discount.
While you're on our website, you can also review the show. We would love some 5 stars. Thank you all so much to those that have submitted them. You can submit topics and cases you'd like us to cover. You'll find fun things like topic-based playlists and tickets for Crime Wave at Sea 2027.
Bom, bom, bom. We cannot wait. Follow us over on Instagram and Threads at Sinisterhood Pod. Like us on Facebook at Sinisterhood. Follow us on YouTube and TikTok at Sinisterhood Podcast to watch clips from the episodes, live streams, and more. And if you're looking for a unique and personal Valentine's gift, love is in the air because beginning this Friday, February 6th at 10 a.m. Central, we are doing a special deal on Cameo. It's $20 per video February 6th through February 12th at 11:59 p.m. Central. So that's Friday the 6th through Thursday, February 12th at 11:59 Central. So get your Valentine's Day shopping done now at cameo.com/sinisterhood. Where are you at online?
I am on Instagram and Threads at Christy M. Wallace and on TikTok at Christy or GTFO. Heather?
I'm surfing the web at Heather versus the World.
As always, the devil rules the airwaves.
Keep it creepy.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
download the Moto Casino app today